Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
A very good morning, live from Bonn in Germany. These are our main stories. Opposition parties in Uganda say there was foul play in the presidential elections, in which President Yoweri Museveni was declared the winner.
We wanted to see the results and then also to compare with the data source, but we don't have access to the official data source which they're using.
African leaders and businessmen meet in Egypt to talk trade and investment opportunities between African states.
There is no doubt an open Africa will be an unstoppable Africa. Breaking down the barriers is the key to Africa's long-term growth and development and prosperity.
Welcome to this edition of Africa Link on this Monday, February the 22nd. My name is Abubakar Jallo.
Top story.
Uganda's President Yoweri Museveni has dismissed criticisms by foreign observers in last week's poll, telling them not to lecture him. This statement comes after European Union monitors said the elections lacked transparency and independence. President Museveni, who was declared winner of the elections, said the observers were not serious. In power since 1986, Museveni has presided over strong economic growth in Uganda, but is accused of suppressing dissent and failing to tackle rampant corruption. His main rival Kizza Besigye, who was still under house arrest as the final results were being announced, called the election a sham. Alex Chita has more.
The commission declares Yoweri Kaguta Museveni elected president of the Republic of Uganda.
For five more years, Yoweri Museveni will be Uganda's president. Museveni will have been in power for 35 years by the next election. As the announcement was made, Kampala City remained largely deserted, save for the army and the police that were patrolling the streets. This is the fourth time Museveni has won the election with a big margin, but it is the first time international bodies have openly criticized the electoral process. The excessive force used by the police in the arrest of Dr. Kizza Besigye was of concern.
This literary use of force by police is unacceptable.
That is the head of the European Union Observer Mission, Edward Kukan, who also said the Electoral Commission is not independent.
According to our assessment, the Electoral Commission lacks independence, transparency, and the trust of the stakeholders.
Kukan added that the government, using ill-trained civilians as crime preventers, added to an already intimidating environment. The Commonwealth Observer Mission also condemned the use of crime preventers, as their head, former president of Nigeria, Olusegun Obasanjo, noted.
We have heard the reasons given by the authorities for the existence of such a force, but do not believe that there is any place for such a state-sanctioned militia.
The crime preventers program by the police has been criticized by many people, both local and international before, including the Human Rights Watch. Observer missions from Africa, including African Union, the East African Community, said the process was considerably free and fair, and that the delays to start the election could not have influenced the outcome of the election. However, the opposition agents shunned the tallying process, claiming that it was not transparent. James Okello was Amama Mbabazi's representative.
We wanted to see the results and then also to compare with the data source, but we don't have access to the official data source which they're using. Partly that's the reason why most of the agents are gone.
Yoweri Museveni won with 60% of the vote, followed by Kizza Besigye at 35%, while Museveni's former Prime Minister Amama Mbabazi came third. Both Mbabazi and Besigye have rejected the results, citing irregularities. Museveni will be sworn in May this year.
Alex Chita in Kampala. Meanwhile, Museveni's main rival Kizza Besigye, who is still under house arrest, is now urging his supporters to protest his detention. Museveni, however, said he will use all means to protect the peace in the country. Is placing his rival under house arrest really helping to guard the peace? My colleague Eunice Wanjiru put that question to Maria Burnett from Human Rights Watch.
We have longstanding concerns about public order management and the excessive use of lethal force in Uganda. Human Rights Watch has documented killings by police and military police in the context of rallies and demonstrations in situations where there was absolutely no reason to be using lethal force like live bullets.
Edward Kukan, chief observer for the EU mission, said that state actors created an intimidating atmosphere for both voters and candidates. Was this really the case?
Yeah, I think it's quite clear that the environment around elections and campaigns in Uganda can be quite intimidating. There's been the heavy deployment of police and military in the city. You know, there have been columns of soldiers marching. There have been police around in roundabouts, and some are on mambas and APCs. It's an intimidating environment, certainly. I think there are differing views as to whether they're there for security or they're to intimidate the population. But, you know, I think most people in Kampala are concerned for what the security forces have been deployed to do.
And what can you tell us about the access to social media, which was blocked on the day of the elections?
Yeah, it's been a really interesting thing. You know, I think it's always important to note that obviously the vast majority of voters in Uganda don't have access to social media, but this is the first election in Uganda's history where we've seen that social media can play an active and vibrant role, and the government's attempts to ban social media and to close down that space really failed. We saw over 1.5 million downloads of VPN, you know, the service to go around the ban on social media. And there has been a really vibrant discussion of the elections. I think it's been an interesting element, and I think that the best is that, you know, more and more Ugandans get access to social media as electronics and electricity and technology permit.
And finally, do you think the public debate had any influence on the elections?
I think it was really important that those four occurred. I think it's unfortunate President Museveni didn't participate in the first debate, you know, but I think it is important that those debates occurred. I think, you know, we can't replace the true free expression of ideas, and there are concerns that there were a lot of controls imposed by the ruling party around the second debate. But ultimately, it's an important platform, and it would certainly be an important part of elections to come.
Maria Bonnet, a researcher with Human Rights Watch in Kampala.
Africa Link, every weekday on DW Deutsche Welle.
To Sharm el-Sheikh now in Egypt, where a two-day African Economic Summit ended on Sunday amid calls for investment. Organizers of the talks said several business proposals were negotiated to help boost economic growth in Africa. The primary objective was to create investment opportunities between African states. Ruben Kiama was there and filed this report.
Several African leaders met in Egypt over the weekend to attend an international business and investment forum aimed at strengthening business ties within Africa. The forum, attended by President Abdel Fattah el-Sisi of Egypt and other African heads of state, including Presidents Muhammadu Buhari of Nigeria, Omar Hassan el-Bashir of Sudan, and Ali Bongo Ondimba of Gabon, as well as Prime Minister Haile Mariam de Salein of Ethiopia. Nigerian President Buhari said the low oil prices and a slowdown of the global economy have struck Africa's biggest economy.
The impact is that development of infrastructure, especially power communication, we have to depend on foreign countries that will help us invest in Nigeria. The fact that certainly we are recognized as being resourceful in terms of having oil and gas, that will help make us creditworthy.
He said the world is facing a challenge from the rising threat of international terrorism. Speaking at the forum, the African Development Bank President Akinwumi Adesina said that strong investment flows to Africa would sustain high economic growth on the continent, even amid low oil prices and a slowdown in China.
There is no doubt an open Africa will be an unstoppable Africa. Breaking down the barriers is the key to Africa's long-term growth and development and prosperity. Your Excellencies, I have simply one thing to ask you, with all the powers and responsibilities you have this morning, please bring down all those walls.
Analysts say Africa may grow 4.4% this year, despite increasing current account and fiscal deficits caused by falling export revenues and depreciating currencies. With interest in the continent growing exponentially, some of today's newest business players are originating from non-traditional regions such as South America, Eastern Europe, the Gulf, and Africa itself.
Robin Kiama in Sharm el-Sheikh, Egypt. The United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon is visiting Burundi today to meet with President Pierre Nkurunziza. His mission is to step up the peace efforts. This is a follow-up on a similar visit by envoys from the Security Council in January. Nkurunziza, however, flatly rejected their peace proposals. What difference would Ban's visit make in ending months of unrest in Burundi? Apollinaire Aurora filed this report.
UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon is visiting Burundi at a time when the crisis that started in the East African nation in April last year is still hitting hard. Ban Ki-moon is due to meet Burundian President Pierre Nkurunziza on Tuesday morning, but despite reports of violence, Burundian leaders have been maintaining that the country is safe up to more than 99%. Speaking at a press conference on Sunday, U.S. Special Envoy to the African Great Lakes region Thomas Perriello said Burundi is to host high-level delegations from the UN and the AU and to participate in a summit of heads of state of the East African Community slated before the end of this month.
This is a golden opportunity for the government of Burundi to show its seriousness about taking steps towards making this a safe and secure environment for independent journalists, for opponents and critics of the government, for African Union monitors to be able to validate issues on the ground, to restore the foundations of Arusha and peace, and to restore the relationship with many in the international community.
Meanwhile, Burundian President Pierre Nkurunziza has promised sanctions against people who hide among demonstrators insulting Rwandan President Paul Kagame and his country. Speaking to a crowd in Cibitoke province, Burundian President Nkurunziza urged the National Intelligence Service and the security forces to do all they can to arrest the culprits and bring them before trial. We seize this opportunity to condemn some of those who hide during demonstrations where you showed your sadness that you were against Rwanda's conduct. Some showed unnecessary behavior, writing messages whose origins are unknown and inciting hatred between Rwanda and Burundi. Rwandans and Burundians are brothers and neighbors. On the 13th and the 20th of February, pro-government demonstrations took place nationwide to support the decision by African Union leaders not to send AU peacekeepers into Burundi as proposed by AU Peace and Security Council in December last year.
Apollinaire Aurora in Bujumbura. It's time now for a new episode of Crime Fighters titled Land of Chongwe. Enjoy.
Deutsche Welle, learning by ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Greetings and a very warm welcome to a brand new radio drama, Get Ready for Crime Fighters, Land of Chongwe, written by Crispin Mwakidiwo. Our story takes place in Africa and it begins on a beautiful flower plantation in Chongwe. The flower farm is owned by Roses International, a foreign multi-billion dollar flower company. With the demand for flowers rising all over the world, Roses International leases a huge chunk of fertile land in Chongwe, where it now grows roses for export. The government forced the people who live there to make way for economic activity, which it said would benefit the community. Led by their revered chief known as Awombo, the residents of Chongwe have become squatters in their own country. And now, the chief has been missing for over a week. The first episode is called The Missing Chief. Let's join Zimari and Pambo, two workers at the flower farm, as they get ready to start work.
Mm-hmm. everyone. Remember, each of you has to harvest 10 kilos of flowers this shift. Anything less than that, and we'll deduct the difference from your wages and hire someone else who can meet our expectations. Is that clear? Okay, let's go, let's go.
Oh, Bambo, how I hate this supervisor.
Shh, Zumari, watch your mouth. You know we need this job. Come on, let's go. They told us to start picking roses at the far end of the farm. It's a long way off. And you heard the supervisor. Not less than
10 kilos of roses. Yes, I heard her. Let's go.
So, Pambo, how are your two children? Are they still fighting over every last piece of bread?
Oh, shut up, Zumari. At least my kids fight over the last piece of bread. My neighbor's children, they fight over who gets to use the bathroom first.
Well, I can't blame them. Ever since we were kicked off the land we now have to work on, there just hasn't been enough space for all of us.
Yes, the lack of toilets is the worst. Living in makeshift houses is not what the government promised us when they gave our land to the flower company. Well, at least we can earn money to feed our families.
But Pambo, I am sick of this life. We had our own farms, right here, on this land. We were self-sufficient. We didn't need to work for anyone else in order to survive. Certainly not for foreigners. Look at us now. They treat us like slaves.
Zumari, whatever it is you had for breakfast, don't ever eat it again.
Wake up, Pambo. Can't you see for yourself what's happening? Where's our chief? No one's heard anything from him for over a week. Why?
I have no idea. Maybe Chief Owombo decided to visit the sacred shrines in Chongwe Mountains. He's probably gone there to seek guidance from the spirits of his forefathers.
Oh, come on. It's those thugs we are working for. They've abducted him because he's always speaking out against the takeover of our land by Roses International.
Hey, Zumari, are you going crazy? I'm really not keen on working with people who have a screw loose.
Call me crazy or whatever you like. But mark my words. Something's cooking. And very soon, I'll be proved right.
Ah, Zumari, that's all just speculation. Our employers, Roses International, promised to fully cooperate in the search for Chief Owombo.
Ah, that's all just to fool people like you. Even the reward of 500,000 that the government's offering to anyone who finds the chief is just a lie. I may be a flower picker, but I am nobody's fool.
Okay, okay, nobody's fool. Let's get to work. Count the flowers, count the
flowers. Count the rainbows, flowers, count the flowers. Shut up, Bumble. Shut up.
Nothing like a cup of coffee to start the day, right, cousin?
Zamba, you need to get your act together and find this Chief Owombo. As head of the National Intelligence Service, this is your top priority. The president wants the mystery of Owombo's disappearance solved, and she wants it solved now.
Kuzacha, when did you start taking orders from a woman seriously? Let her talk. That's what politicians do.
Will you stop talking like that about our boss? She appointed me interior minister, remember? President Imani is the head of state, and she deserves some respect. Besides, someone might hear us.
You're so funny. Kuzacha, I'm the head of this country's secret service. I can find out which side of the bed President Imani sleeps on and with whom if I want to. So relax. My boys are out searching for the lost sheep. The missing chief.
You've been telling me that for over a week now. I'm responsible for the internal security of this country. And I need something concrete, Zamba. President Imani has called a cabinet meeting for tomorrow. What am I going to tell her about the missing chief? You know how revered he is, not just in Chongwe, but throughout the country. We need to find him as soon as possible.
Then increase the reward money for whoever finds him. That might motivate people. Who knows? The old man might even come out of his hiding place and claim the reward for himself.
Stop being sarcastic and show some respect. Okay, we'll raise the reward to 1 million. I'll order my secretary to announce it on all local media. But I hope this gets us somewhere, Zamba. I don't want to lose any more sleep over this.
Look, just tell Madame la Présidente, that we are following some leads and hope to solve the case as quickly as possible. I mean, it's not as if we are looking for someone who can run, is it?
That wasn't funny, Zamba. This generation has absolutely no manners. Okay. Another question. Do you think the chief is still alive?
Huh? What kind of question is that? Of course he's alive.
That's good. Because you know Chief Owombo is seen as a hero for standing up to the colonialists. He was a key figure in the fight for independence. So if anything happens to him, you can be sure it won't go down well with his people in Chongwe.
Stop worrying, Kuzacha. You're giving yourself grey hairs. We'll find this so-called independence hero.
Oh, phew. I needed a break. So what did you pack for lunch, Zumari?
The usual. Cassava and black tea. What did you bring?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
Let me look in my bag.
Empty cups? You brought empty cups?
And an empty stomach, too. Would you mind sharing your cassava, Zumari?
I'm speechless.
Good. That's good table manners. No talking while you eat.
Table manners? I don't see any table here. All I see are roses all around. A blue sky with the hot sun beating down, and this river flowing. Oh, Pambo! Pambo!
What? What is it, Zumari?
Look! Over there! In the river, floating down towards us.
Oh my goodness, that looks like
a human being.
Hey, quick, we have to do something. He's drowning.
But how? What if... Maybe we'd better just call for help, Pambo.
There's no time for that. Come on, quick. He's floating right past us. We just need to stretch a bit and you can pull him out of the water. Come on. Okay, stay near the bank and hold my left hand. I'll reach out and grab him with my right and pull him out of the water. All right? That's it. Almost there. One, two, and now!
Is he still alive? He doesn't seem to be breathing. What are you doing, Pambo? No, please don't turn him over.
Chief Owombo?
Pambo and Zumari are left standing by the riverside, staring dumbfounded at the body of their beloved Chief Owombo. Is he still alive? What will they do next? Find out the answers to these questions in the next episode of Land of Chongwe. As always, you can listen to this episode again by visiting our webpage dw.com/crimefighters. And please let us know on our Facebook page what you think of this series. Until next time, stay safe.
And before we leave you, a quick summary of the main stories. Uganda's President Yoweri Museveni has told international observers to not lecture him after he was declared winner of the elections. African leaders and businessmen met in Egypt to talk trade and investment opportunities between African states. And UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon is arriving in Burundi today to step up the peace efforts. There, we come to the end of this broadcast. You can contact us by sending an email to feedback.africa@dw.com, a letter to AfricaLink, DW 53110 Bonn, Germany, or an SMS to +491609575950. I am Abubakar Jallo in Bonn. Bye for now.